This morning has been miraculous, and it's not even 7 a.m. I know I'm going to have a good day when this happens. I really do. So it started off not great. I woke up extremely anxious this morning, and my stomach was just killing me. I don't know, I had an uneasy feeling. I've had it for a couple of days, to be honest with you. And I really don't like that feeling because I don't feel it too often. And I don't know if I was being completely honest with myself that I was even feeling it until this morning, and I just couldn't even ignore it at that point. There was no ignoring it. So I got on my knees and I prayed to God, and I asked him to please help me ease my anxiety and to make me feel better, or help me to figure out how to make myself feel better, or whatever I need to do, because I don't want to feel this way. I don't want it. And he works pretty quickly, I will say. Within 10 minutes, my stomach was killing me. I was dizzy. I was so nauseous. I felt hot. I felt like I was going to faint. And I instinctively just started moving. And I have this candle. It's labeled Shadow. When I do any type of ceremonial work, I will light this, and this is for people to tell their shadows. And sometimes light is just too bright, and we need to sit with a candle because candlelight is darker and it's easier to speak in the dark. So I grabbed that, and something had fallen off my bed earlier. I received a huge Bible from a friend, and so I assumed it was the Bible. So I picked it up and I left it on the page that it had fallen on because I knew that there was something on that page that I had to read. And I started writing. Every single sentence that I put on that paper, I felt better and better and better. And I could breathe a little more and a little more and a little more. And it was really freeing. I had to write. And so it makes it a little bit easier for me to make this podcast because I have a bunch of stuff written down and I can read it. But I also want to say that my stuff is relationship wise because that's where I'm at. If you're in a marriage and this pertains to you, it might be different. It might be a friendship. It might be a place that you go. Shadows look different to all of us because we're all at different places and we're all going through different things at different times, but shadows morph. So it's kind of all the same thing, even though it seems so different sometimes, but just replace whatever with your situation. So I've been able to receive consciousness from men because before I felt like I could never relate to them, and I don't know if I even knew that. And so because I felt like I couldn't relate to them, I had a wall up and I didn't let them in, and I wasn't being truthful with myself. So I've been able to realize this because I am a really positive person and I really lead with my heart, and I know that, you know, we've been here before, we'll be here again, and all these awesome things. And so when it came to men recently, I was thinking so negatively, and I was having these thoughts, and I was like, oh my goodness, my thinking is so not in alignment with who I am as a person. And that showed me that I have work to do in this area, and this is something that I haven't done yet, and I haven't done it because I've never been able to relate to men before, and recently I've been able to relate to a man, and because I could relate to him, it opened up a new consciousness. So because of that, I was then able to channel with someone, and when I channeled, it opened up a lot more, and it doesn't have to just be childhood sexual abuse. It could be any type of poor behavior by the adults around us. So if you see an older man smack the butt of like one of your cousins who's younger, or a younger waitress, it's just inappropriate. And as a young man, as a child, it's confusing when you see the men around you acting one way and then speaking another way. It just doesn't make sense. And so that's why it makes it really hard sometimes to relate to men. But when I stopped trying to look at it from the adult perspective and I went back in and looked at it from a child's perspective, it helped me to understand it better, because I can understand that. I think I've had conversations with people about this, you know? So when it comes to me specifically, I've had walls up with men and I didn't know I did at all. And so this is illuminating all that for me, because I'm starting to see the holes in my thinking and I'm starting to see where I've been going wrong, because my relationship version of me has never met my divine version of me yet. So I have to incorporate it all together and I have to find a balance between the two, so that I can really pick people based off of my divine thinking, because it's not all humanity. It is not all feelings, because sometimes our feelings aren't always accurate. And so that's why I'm writing things down and lighting candles and doing the work, because I want to have healthy, accurate thinking, and I want to be conscious, because when I am, it helps me to relate to the people around me, and it makes me a better mother, and it makes me a better friend, it'll make me a better wife, it'll make me all these things, and I'll be able to hold space for all these people and be what they need at no cost to myself, because it doesn't drain me. I won't be drained, and so it'll be so nice for my children and, you know, all those relationships and my family and my friends. And I'm really excited for that. But let me read the first one that I wrote. It's okay to open your heart to a man and feel his vulnerability. Men can be strong and also be vulnerable. And this is an interesting one, because I wrote this down and I was like, what do you mean? I say this all the time. I say that I want someone that's vulnerable, and that, you know, I think it's sexy when a man's vulnerable. But then I look at my past relationships and I'm like, why do I pick people that are unable to be vulnerable in a healthy way? Why do I do that? If I say that I want healthy vulnerability, then why am I not picking that? And it's because I haven't understood healthy vulnerability until now that I'm going back in and looking at it. So it's really interesting that, you know, I am the root of my own suffering, 100%. I'm saying one thing and I'm doing another thing. I'm saying I want a man that is strong and manly and all this stuff, and then I'm finding men who are not those things. Or I'm saying I want someone who's vulnerable, and I'm finding men who cannot be vulnerable at all, and they're too strong. And there has to be a happy balance. Men, when they're running in their divine state, they are really both. They're balanced and they're manly, and they're able to hold space, and they're able to be a safe place for you. And that is a really healthy man. And that's what everyone should be striving to be. But what's happening is we are missing the mark a little bit. And I think that a lot of us women included, we are working on ourselves, but we're not including the spirituality as much. And we're not really, really, really being raw with ourselves and being truthful. Another thought that I had was, when people disrespect you over and over again, it makes it hard to entirely trust. And so that's very, very true. And when I was talking about men, I was like, you can't trust them and blah, blah, blah. And that's not my thinking. I don't want to think like that about people. If I go into something, or if I'm around a friendship, or if I go into a new work situation and I think, oh God, I can't trust this man, this boss, I can't trust him, then that's really setting him up for failure, because you're already looking at him like that. You're already throwing that energy. No, trust should be given until it's not given, and then that's a conversation. That's a conversation that we have because we're adults, and that's what we do as adults. We have these conversations because we teach children that you're supposed to talk when there's an issue and that you are supposed to do the things that you say that you're going to do. That's what I teach my kids. But yet, I haven't been doing it all the time. And it's really difficult to sit with that. And I think that when it comes to them, it makes it really hard. So like I said, this isn't just romantic. This goes across the board. This is for everyone and everything in our lives. And that's what makes it so complicated. And that's what makes it hard, because sometimes people can see things in one area and they can't see it in the other area. Me too. I've been doing all the spiritual work in all these different areas, and I haven't even realized how messed up my thinking was toward men. And so here I am, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't even believe that I have all this work I still have to do. And I am a little nerdy, like I say, so I'm actually kind of excited. I'm excited to do this work, and I'm excited to dig in and to have conversations with people and to start dating and to start seeing what works for me and what doesn't, because I'm not going to hold men to these crazy standards anymore. It's not fair. It's not fair to do that. It's not fair to hold someone that you are potentially going to have as a partner, hold them responsible for your exes and the mistakes that you've made and picking people, right? Because in all reality, if you are sound and you're sound in your spirituality and you're sound in your morality and you're sound in all these different things that you want to be sound in, then you're picking people that are balanced and you're able to pick the right person. You should trust your intuition and you should trust these different things. So I guess it's knowing that, and it's also being brave enough to look at the relationships that we're already in and that are around us. And that's even harder. It's almost easier for me because I get to go in with a fresh set of eyes. When you've already been in something for a long period of time, or if this is a family member, which is the hardest, or if this is even a child, even that close of a family member, this applies to everything, everyone, people, places, and things. This is consciousness. This is developing our thinking so that we can elevate to the next level. And I think this should be free to everyone. And I think we should be having these conversations openly, because I can also learn from other people because they have done work in other areas more than I have. And so it's knowing that, and it's knowing that I am the teacher, but I am also the student. And I want to make a point to say that when we have an ego, it really limits our thinking and it keeps us very stuck. And so we don't want to be there. We want to make sure that we're open and we're fluid and living up to the words that we say. Because if you are not a person of your word, then honestly, what do you have?